Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We're meant to be radically different than the world, folks. Not like those on The Apprentice. Different. Very, very, very different. There's three ways I want to suggest that we can be great in Jesus' eyes rather than great in the eyes of the world. The first is this, that we can confess our pride. That's how we are great in Jesus' eyes. We confess our pride. One of my favourite verses, you know, as I look at Scripture, is a saying from Paul. And you know, Paul was a guy that had it all going for him. As regard the law and regard keeping religious practice, he was number one. He was circumcised on the right day. He was tutored by the right tutor. He just did it all by the book, just as he should have. But I just love this. Listen to the humility in his voice as he writes this. This is 1 Timothy 1 verse 16. He said, "But God had mercy on me so that Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners." You got that? "But God had great mercy on me, Paul, so that Jesus could point to me as an example of his great patience with the worst of sinners." With the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. You know, Christians can be some of the most proud people in the world, can't they? The most proud people in the world. They can look down on people who aren't Christians. Happens all the time. You listen to the way Christians sometimes talk about people who aren't Christians, and it's so disrespectful sometimes. But actually, it should be the opposite. We should be standing in front of non-Christians saying, "I am prime example number one of Jesus' patience. That he could pick up the worst of sinners, the very worst, and actually save him." Folks, that's what we need to be. We need to be people who just confess our pride all the time. Confess our pride. The second thing, folks, that we can do to become great in Jesus' eyes is we can love last place. We can love last place. You know, the irony is that by James and John asking this question, they're actually mimicking, Jesus says, the Gentiles that are in the rule over them, the Romans. They're actually acting like those people on The Apprentice that we all love to hate. But if we want to mimic Jesus, what do? We say that even though Jesus saw that equality with God was there to be grasped, he humbled himself. He humbled himself to take on the very form of a servant and then on to death, even death on a cross. Jesus has shown us the way that even the Son of Man, it says here, came not to be served, but to serve, to be born in a duck pond village called Bethlehem, to grow up without a home, without a penny to call his own, and to be hung on a cross, the most cruel and humiliating death known to man. Even Jesus has shown us. Folks, we need to be people that love last place. Love last place. You know, Martin Luther King said that Christianity always insisted that the cross we bear precedes the crown we wear. Christianity always insisted that the cross we bear precedes the crown we wear. Do you know, folks, if your vision for glory is about being number one, if your vision for glory is about being a professional footballer, or your vision for glory is about being the best of the best of the best, and you're willing to push yourself forward for whatever it takes to get there, folks, do you know only a couple of people are ever going to reach that, aren't they? There's only going to be, you know, one or two American presidents. There's only going to be one Taoiseach, isn't there? There's only going to be one Lord Sugar. There's only going to be one of these people. And for the rest of us, it'll all be disappointment, won't it? But actually, what Jesus says is that if you love place, that we can all be great in his sight. We can all be great in his sight. Here's a third one. And this is get the last one. If we want to be great in Jesus' eyes, we can reevaluate. We need to reevaluate our reward. You know where I think the confusion all lies in this whole thing? The reason why the disciples thought they could ask this question is I think they really misinterpreted something Jesus said, actually. Because what happens in this narrative is that the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Do you remember the story? And he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "You've got to sell it all, follow me. And Jesus says, or the guy walks away downhearted, doesn't he? Sad. And Jesus says, you know, it's really tough for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Really tough. And then the disciples say, who then can be saved? And then Peter pipes up and he says, but Lord, we've given everything for you. And here's what Jesus says to them. And I just think this is really important. It's chapter 10, it's verse 29. Here's what he says. He says, yes, you have, Jesus replied. And I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and property along with persecution. What do you think of that passage? It's not true, is it? Is it? Like the disciples who gave up all their houses and all their wives and all them things. Jesus is saying in this present age, okay, so not in heaven, in this present age, you're going to receive 100 times as many houses. That's definitely not likely to happen, is it? And of course, we've already said that for James and John, all they got was persecution. All they got was a cup and a baptism. They didn't get glory. It's kind of easy to understand why they asked that question, isn't it? But we need to, folks, reevaluate our reward. We need to reevaluate our reward. You know, about 20 years ago, there was an accountant in Ballymena. And that accountant was a guy called Noel. And he heard God's message that he needed to become last to be first. And he searched God and sought God as to what that meant. How do I become last to be first? And as he sought God, he believed that God was saying to him, I want you to move to Cavan. Persecution, eh? I want you to move to Cavan. And I want you to minister the gospel down there where there's not too many people ministering it. And you know, he gave up his accountancy. He gave up his job. He gave up his livelihood. He gave up something that he was first in. And under what God had asked him, he became last. He became an unemployed man in Cavan who just trusted in donations and gifts and God's provision. You know, that is the guy who I would say is responsible for leading me to know Jesus. A guy called Noel McMeekin. I would say he's the guy that's responsible. And it's because the first chose to become last. He chose to love last place. You know, he didn't receive 100 accountancy firms or 100 swanky houses or 100 shopping centres in Ballymena High. He didn't get any of them things. But what he did receive was an inheritance of seeing a lot of young people, a lot of people come to know Jesus because he was willing to make himself last. I believe he's reevaluated his reward. I don't believe that he would ever look back and say, I wish I'd stayed in that office and crunched those numbers. Because he's received 100 times. 100 times. I was reading just this morning about Jackie Pullinger. I don't know if any of you have followed her, who many years ago, at the age of 15, decades ago, heard God saying that she should go to Hong Kong and minister God's word. She was 15 years old, a female. She went to mission organization after mission organization saying, I need to go, God's called me to go. And they all refused. You're too young, it's too dangerous. The walled city in Hong Kong, it's too dangerous a place. It's not even policed. She went out there. She took that boat. She didn't even have enough money in her pocket to pay for a room for that night. But yet God has given her 100 times what she would have got in her home in England. Living out there ministering to you know, gangs and prostitutes, all sorts of people, seeing a massive inheritance given to her because she became last. She became last. Let me ask you, are you willing to become last? You say, how do I do that? Folks, we have so many ways. I'm sure we have found it a serious pain in the pocket to give 10% this Easter. It's not easy. No, but counting your cross, it's a difficult thing. It's not about what would you do for me, Jesus. It's about, Jesus, how can I respond to this great love? How can I respond to this great love? But folks, there are so many other ways. You know what? We would love people to become last. Come to our prayer meeting. We need people to pray. We just need it, folks. We just need it so much on a Wednesday night. It's not on this Wednesday, it's on Wednesday week. We need our whole church to pray because we need Jesus to move among us. And folks, it's not upfront ministry. It's not doing something shiny and, the sort of thing maybe you want to do when you look up and you see a worship leader at the front. But folks, it is the most important ministry we can ask you to do. Come and pray for our church. You know, the other thing is we need people. We'd love to redo our welcome teams and have loads of welcome teams if you'd be willing to be part of that so that people are so at home in this church when they enter in for the first time. We would love to see people come forward and offer themselves for a welcome team. We've got people, a small core of people that do a lot of catering and a lot of things in this church. We would love people that are willing to be last, to be servants, to pull on a shirt and do that for us. You know, next Sunday, we're going to nominate servants who are going to take care of the furniture and fittings of this church and lead us into a new phase of ministry on Vestry. Would you be ready to give up one night a month and serve on Vestry if you believe God's asking you to? Would you be willing? Would you be willing to step in from whatever fringe you stand on and get involved in the core ministry of this church? Because folks, just like Tevez, we need you to get up off the bench. We need you to take your place. We want to see you flourish. We want to see you move and we want to see you growing. Folks, there are ministries here for you and there are jobs here for you to do if you want to love last place. God might want to use you at the front here, but he also might want to use you at the back. You know, a sermon's great, but if you haven't been welcomed at the door as you come in, you might as well be talking to the wall. All these ministries are important. All of them are important. And you can take your place in taking on one of those ministries. I want to just finish off with an image. And I'm going to finish off with two images, actually. And the first image is about women. The first image is about a man. Okay? I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I just fell in love with this little bit of the Bible. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was reading, hello Leah, how you doing? She wants to be first. No, you don't, last. She's a wee pet. I was reading the book of Exodus, chapter 38, and it's just an incredible part. It's all about the building of the tabernacle. And you know, the first person to be filled with God's Holy Spirit was a guy called Bezalel. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit to be creative. And make the tabernacle, this place of God, just a beautiful place. But I just love this wee bit hidden away here. In 38 verse 8, it says this. Bezalel made the bronze washbasin and its bronze stand of purity from bronze mirrors. And these bronze mirrors were donated by the women who served. Isn't that great? So there's this really important bit of the tabernacle, this really important bit about cleansing yourself and entering into God's presence. And how is it made? It's made from the mirrors of women, melted down and creating a bow. You know, folks, I think there's something there that just spoke to me in a really kind of prophetic way about the fact that we need to give up our own vanity sometimes. We need to give up our own vanity if we're to serve in this church. You know, folks, sometimes we don't necessarily totally agree with directions that things move in churches. Maybe we've got different ideas about it and all the rest of it. You know, I believe Tevez had a different idea. He thought he should have started that match. But folks, at the end of the day, it's about being part of things, about pulling on the shirt and serving Jesus. And I hope somebody says thank you to you, and they should say thank you to you. But if they don't worry, because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for the Lord Jesus. You're doing it for the Lord Jesus. Another image I just want to finish with. And it's the image of Jacob. And does anybody know what Jacob's name means? What does Jacob mean?
A deceiver.
Deceiver. It does. That's the kind of common one, actually, that people say deceiver. But actually, Jacob means a word, surplanter. Surplanter. And really what the name Jacob means is it's a person that's always trying to put themselves first. Okay? And this honestly, if there's any midwives in the house, this is a new one on me. But when Jacob came out of the womb, he was locked onto his brother's ankle, going, "Ah, I want to be first." You know, poor mother. big wrestling match inside her. He was trying to be first, and he grabbed on. As Esau was born, Jacob was grabbing onto his heel. He wanted to be first. And then as he grew up, he actually deceived his brother into giving up his birthright. And he finally got there, and he was finally first. Finally true to his name. Finally the supplanter. Number one. Push yourself forward, apprentice. And he wasn't happy. And something inside of him meant that he wanted to change. So he decides he'll go back to his brother and he'll give him a gift and he'll bless him. But he's so fearful of his brother's reaction. In the midst of his brother's reaction, this guy who's always wanted to be first, in the midst of walking back to meet his brother, he has a vision or a real experience where he wrestles with God. He wrestles with God all night long. And God touches his hip and knocks his hip out of joint. And he asks Jacob, he says, "What is your name? What is your name?" And Jacob says, "My name is Supplanter. My name is Always Want to Be First. Always Want to Be First." And God says, "From this day on, your name will be Israel, the name of all the people." Folks, can I just challenge you? I'm not saying any of us are going to mix up a stew and steal somebody's birthright. But what I would say is sometimes, and I am as aware of this as anyone, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we want to serve Jesus. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we are a team here in this church. And if we don't all take our part, we're not going to get the victories that Jesus has in store for us. Sometimes we lose sight that actually becoming last and being at the prayer meeting is as significant as any ministry is. Offering ourselves to be in the welcome team is as significant as any sermon. Sometimes we lose sight that we need to follow after Jesus and seek out the places of service. Folks, we're going to move back out of this church from July to about early December for essential maintenance to happen. First of all, that's going to be a logistical nightmare over on the hall. So we're having church every week. We're going to need people stepping up to serve and do boring things like setting out dusty old chairs. We're going to need that help. So please, would you serve? You know, we have things all the time here that we need catering for. Yeah, would you serve? Then we're going to move back into this church. And we believe it's going to be a new phase of ministry. It needs to be a new phase of ministry because changing a few screens and moving a few things doesn't matter unless you can fill it with God's presence and God's Spirit. You can fill it with the ministries that are going to honor Him and interact with His community. We need servants then too who are willing to step up in a new phase and move in from the fringe and take on a role and pull your shirt on. Folks, are you willing to be there? Are you willing to do that? Because, folks, none of us are immune. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve.